Take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 4 this evening. Mark chapter number 4. Again, this is just an independent lesson that I felt like I would teach. This isn't the start of or part of a series of any sort. Mark chapter 4, find verse number 35. And once you've found it, will you stand with me? Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're going to start with verse number 35. The Bible says this, "And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Look back at verse number 40. The title of tonight's sermon is found here. It says, "Why are ye so fearful? Why are ye so fearful?" And let's pray. Father, bless the sermon. I really believe it could help a lot of people. It could help some people that would quickly admit that the topic of tonight is something they deal with frequently. It would help some people that might not ever admit that the topic affects them, but it does. It affects us all. Now bless us tonight with thy Holy Spirit's presence. Help every person, every child, every teenager, every adult to leave this place tonight stronger as Christians. Father, somehow help us not just to hear the truth of tonight, but help us to live it tomorrow and the day after and for years to come, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'll say this about the sermon tonight. I wish that you could hear the sermon, take the truth or the concept that I'm going to teach tonight, and make it a go-to truth from here on out. I wish that all of us could remember what's said tonight and use it to calm ourselves, strengthen ourselves, and help ourselves when we're in need. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the sermon is called, "Why Are Ye So Fearful?" I see a lot of fear, and I'm not talking about in the lost world. I see a lot of fear in Christians, a lot of panic in Christians, a lot of insecurity in Christians. I think many times a lack of confidence comes from this fear or this insecurity. I'm going to tell you the story, and then I'll unfold some very practical teaching about this subject. Why are ye so fearful? Here in Mark chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples are on a ship in the Sea of Galilee. A great storm came to the point that it filled the boats with water. And you may not know a lot about boats. You really want the water on the outside of the boat, not on the inside. So a great storm comes. The boats are filled with water. Jesus was sleeping on a pillow, the Bible says. And in this story, everybody else was panicked and they were full of fear. In a panic, they wake up Jesus. In verse 38, they said to Jesus, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Jesus got out of bed, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace be still." Verse 39 it says, "And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." I don't think there was only a great calm in regard to the weather. I think there was a great calm in regard to the people. Jesus said to those panicked, fearful, insecure Christians, in verse 40, he asked the question that is the title of tonight's sermon, "Why are ye so fearful?" Then he says, how is it you have no faith? Ah, these two are connected. Why are ye so fearful? How is it ye have no faith? Let me explain. Fearful means full of fear. Someone is faithful, they're full of faith. Somebody that is thankful, they're full of thanks. Someone that's hateful is full of hate. Why are ye so fearful? You're full of fear. How is it you have no faith? Full of fear, absent of faith. Fear is the absence of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the enemy of faith. Big fear equals little faith. Fear is the opponent of faith. Big faith equals little fear. Jesus said, because you're full of fear, you're not full of faith. He said, and why is it? Why are you full of fear instead of being full of faith? There's a verse in the Bible, Romans 14:23. It says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. There was an element of sin in their panic and their fear. Why? Because he said, you're not behaving in faith, you're behaving in fear. And that which is not of faith is sin. Let me tell you all real quickly. Faith, it's a three-part thing. There's something to believe and there's something to doubt. And then you must step out on the faith or the doubt. See, doubt is what necessitates faith. If doubt was not present, you would not need faith. Does that make sense? Doubt's there. Now, I have a choice. I can step out on the doubt or I can step out on the belief. And so faith is really a three, it's got three parts to it. Doubt, belief, and then stepping out on the belief. So if someone said, hey, if you're going to have faith, you're going to be totally absent of doubt. No, doubt was present at the beginning of the process. That's what necessitated the need of the belief and the stepping out on the faith. Now, so you know, everybody experiences some fear. Nobody has perfect faith. To experience fear, I don't think it's sin, but to be ruled by fear, that's sin. For any decision to be made based on fear, you're not making the decision by faith, and that which is not of faith is sin. And so you all know, the human race, and I'm very sad to say, many Christians function out of fear. They make their decisions on fear, not by faith in the Scripture. For fear to keep you from doing what is God's will is sin. What God wants is, the will of God is always scripturally guided. So, listen, be careful of this thing called fear. Fear is robbing you of faith, and that which is not of faith is sin. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, well, you always come back to that Word of God. You guessed or Chester, and I'll do that all the way till the Word of God comes back for me. The Word of God is the answer. It is the answer. Now, let me take this thing and make it a little more practical. I really want to help some of you. There are people in this room. Fear dominates your life. Fear makes more decisions than faith does. Fear controls you in many, many instances. You're making way too many decisions letting fear be the guiding force. I think I can help you. I'll make it simple. First of all, what is fear? What is fear? Webster's Dictionary said it's a distressing emotion aroused by real danger or imagined danger or by imagined evil or imagined pain. But just so you all know, fear is an attitude. Now, I want everyone to stop and listen to what I say. I put a lot of time into it. If you get what I'm saying, you won't need a psychologist or psychiatrist. You can just let the Bible be your guide. I'd like to put them all out of business. What is fear? It's an attitude. It's an attitude. It's an anticipation in attitude of disaster. It's an anticipation in attitude of the worst. It's an anticipation of possible failure. It's anticipation of embarrassment. Anticipation that all will go wrong. It's anticipation that instead of expecting the best, I'm expecting the worst. Remember this. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Fear expects the worst. Faith expects the best from God. The Greek word for fear, it's delai, which means faithless. Faithless. When we're experiencing fear that paralyzes or fear that controls, we are not acting or thinking by faith. Jesus said, "Why are ye so fearful?" Hear the words that he used, and then he said, how did he put it? "How is it ye have no faith?" Wow. You're full of fear, and you're not functioning by faith. So what is that fear? Fear is that anticipation. Fear is virtually you putting your faith in the negative. You understand that? You're afraid, so you're putting your faith in the negative. Bad's got to come. Wrong's got to come. Failure's got to come. Embarrassment's got to come. The wrong's got to come. Well, you got powerful faith, don't you? Wouldn't it be good that you put your faith in the other side? It is not a fear problem. It's a faith problem. Some counselor may say to you, "You need to fix your fears." I say you need to fix your faith. If you fix your faith, you'll chase the fear out. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 4 says, "The just shall live by fear." The just shall live by what? Faith. Faith. Folks, everybody under the sound of my voice, you have 10 times more faith than you are convinced you have. One of the easiest examples is the chairs in which you sit. Not one person walked in here today, turned the chair over, checked to see if the bolts were, you know, the screws were all the way in, checked the, you know, the weight capacity or anything. You know what you did? You walked in and you plunked your entire being into a chair by fear? No, by faith. Everybody here will practice faith when you get home tonight. You say, "How so?" You grab a light switch. 100% total faith. You expect good to come when you flip the switch. You are full of faith. But what do you do with it? Some of you are negative, and so you always expect the worst. It's an attitude. It's an emotion. And so fear is the anticipation of the worst. But that's not how Christians are supposed to behave. Number two, I'm going to give you some quick Bible verses about fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Logic with me for a second. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. Now, who do you think did? Pretty simple verse. You don't have to have a doctorate to understand the Bible. Right? It doesn't get any simpler than that. Okay, let's go on. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love." But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Hey, let me tell you all something. God loves you. And I'm going to, could I make you a little promise? If you would accept that to its deepest extreme, most fear would be gone from your life completely. You say, why? God loves you. What could happen? What's better than that? The God that loves me, He's got my back. I promise you, you're not thinking about the love of God when you're panicked, when you're fearful, when you're running emotionally, physically. Hey, I'll promise you something else. Husbands, He said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. That love should cast out fear in the New Testament church. And husbands, if you would love your wives like Christ loved the church, it would remove the fears and the insecurities that wives deal with. I don't have time to develop that thought, but I'll promise you there's about 3 hours worth of teaching right there. If you would just listen to how I simplified it, I could change marriages just like that tonight. Let me move on. Luke chapter 12, verse number 7 says, "But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, if you have any. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than sparrows." You know, if God can number the very hair on your head, don't you think God can take care of everything else? He's keeping track of you. You don't keep track of the fact that He's keeping track of you, but He's keeping track of you. You don't always keep your eyes on Him, but He never takes His eyes off of you. When you're afraid, when you're fearful, you've forgotten. He's counting your hair. Let me go on. In Psalm 56, verse number 4, it says, "In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." In Psalm chapter 23, verse number 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Just some simple verses on fear. Let me go on. Number 3. There's some of you, well, all of us from time to time, some of you live in the depths of fear, which bring on a certain amount of despair. Do you know that, my third point is this, fear can cause, I'm going to call it triple suffering. Now, everybody goes through times of fear. Pain comes to us all at one time or another, and fears come to us all. But I'll tell you this, I don't want to suffer before I need to, or any longer than I need to. Fear causes you to suffer. If something's coming at you, fear causes you to suffer before it ever gets here. Stop and think about it. I know people that thought they were going to have cancer, and they virtually became morbid for months while they were finding out, and they didn't. They wasted 2 months of their life, and they freaked themselves out, had themselves sick, dropped out of church, everything else. Wasn't anything wrong with them. So the devil got them anyway. I mean, you suffer because you thought the negative was coming. Here's what I said. I don't want to suffer before I need to, nor any longer than what I have to. Why would I want to suffer like that? Some of you emotionally do it to yourself. I believe fear can cause, I don't have any way to put this, it doesn't sound like I'm real smart, but triple suffering. Let me explain it. Fear causes us to suffer because of what may be coming our way. Okay, so fear, that emotion, we use it. By the way, it's our choice. You can use it or don't use it. It's up to you. Fear can cause advanced suffering. I may have a problem, so I'm going to let it affect me. So now I'm going to begin to suffer today over something that may come next week. That's advanced suffering. Then when, let's say, the pain does arrive, well, why did you spend a week suffering before you needed to? Why didn't you just wait till it got here and then suffer when it got here? So now you're going to suffer when it gets here.
And you were suffering before it got here because of your negative expectation.
Then, there's some of you, you fear what already happened. It's gone. Right? Triple suffering. Pre-suffering. Suffering at the moment. Post-suffering. Because of fear. Triple suffering because of fear.
I work very hard to suffer
only when I have to.
I'm happier that way.
Say, what's going to happen to the doctor?
I don't know.
I'm going to be as happy as I can be till I get to the doctor. And then if he tells me, you should be afraid, I'll say, okay, let's do it real quick. I hope this isn't too complicated. This is the truth. You do realize this. It's an attitude. It's an attitude. What are you doing with that attitude? Fear causes unnecessary suffering. You increase your life suffering because of a self-inflicted, wrong, fearful attitude. Pre-suffering, during suffering, and post-suffering. But could I tell you something? Many times you go through pre-suffering and the incident that your negative attitude developed that could happen, it never even happens. Have you ever had one of those days where you go, there's terrible, it's all over, son, I'm going to die, it's all over. And the next day you say, oh boy, it didn't happen. I shouldn't have been acting that way. It's not all over. What I fear doesn't even exist. And the devil's going, sucker. Love it when the human race gets freaked out over nothing. I think they love playing with our attitude. Don't turn your attitude over to the devil. All right, I've got to hurry. What is fear? It's anticipation of the worst. It's an attitude. I gave you Bible verses about it. I said fear causes the possibility of triple suffering, pre, post, and during. Number four, fear should not control your life. God should control your life. Too many people function out of fear. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. And I could throw in here, lean not into thy fear. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Folks, fear paralyzes. Fear's a paralyzer. Fear will paralyze you. It'll keep you from going forward. Fear is, I think, one of the devil's most successful tools. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Earlier, we analyzed this. God didn't give it. There's only two other places then it would have come from. The devil or you. Or maybe you guys got together to do it. But God hath not given us the spirit of fear. The devil uses fear to keep us from God's will. Hey, nobody wants to fail. So, if the devil can get me to fear the anticipation of failure, maybe I won't try because I might fail. I might embarrass myself. I could get hurt. Hey, has it ever occurred to you that God wants you to succeed? I wonder how many people are... I'd rather try and fail than not try and succeed at doing nothing. Hey, by faith, do what God wants. Obey His word. Folks, never fear obedience to God. Never fear obedience to God. Let's take salvation. Salvation. I'd get saved, but I fear I can't do my part. Now, let me explain. I ever heard someone say, I'd get saved, but I'm afraid I'd be a hypocrite. Well, you got to understand something. You don't live right to get saved. You receive it as a gift. You know how many people fear getting saved because they don't know if they could live it? But, you know, did you know that fear is going to send them right to hell? There's fear producing hell for someone. baptism. I got thinking about this.
I know I should get baptized after I get saved, but I fear it. So the devil attacks with disobedience, if you will, doesn't want someone to obey.
Now, what do they fear? Do they fear drowning? Well, just so you all know, I've been doing this a long time.
To my knowledge, nowhere ever in the history of the New Testament church has anybody drowned during baptism. Millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people got baptized. I doubt we're going to lose you.
Think the devil's got an angle on the psych you out thing? Hey, soul winning. Some of you are afraid to witness. Why? You anticipate rejection. Can I explain something to you? It's not you they're rejecting. It's Jesus. So you know, He can take it.
That's why some of you won't give out a tract. You won't witness. You anticipate rejection. You anticipate failure. Can I tell you how to get someone saved? Anticipate being accepted. Anticipate somebody getting born again. Anticipate somebody saying yes, but your fear paralyzes you, so you're unproductive, and somebody will go to hell because of your fear. You know what? I'd rather get embarrassed than get somebody saved.
Devil promotes failure to us. So we fear failure, and fear paralyzes, and fear destroys. Tithing. I fear if I tithe, I might fall on hard times. I fear I won't have what I need. Oh, you fear God won't provide? You fear that God's financial plan for New Testament Christians doesn't work? Faith says He will provide. Put your faith in the Word of God. You say, preacher, one of my biggest fears is being alone. I'm going to give you a couple verses. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Psalm 56:4 says, "In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what the flesh can do unto me." Did you know that you're never alone? Ever. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content which things are as you have." I'm sorry. "And be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Let me explain. When you got saved, Jesus Christ moved into you. You're never alone. Never alone. Never alone. Ever alone. Ever. I'll explain something that's backwards about the human race. Human race got to be around people all the time. One of the greatest things that could happen to you is get away from people long enough that you could get a connect with God. So I got to have people to be secure. That's where insecurity comes from. Fear takes God's ability out of the picture. Fear eliminates God from your situation. Fear, folks, look, God is alive and well. But fear somehow pushes God and His existence all the way in the corner. Did you know that God is able to handle anything that comes your way? And you're never alone. Let me go on. Number five. When we fear, I fear that we have forgotten God. When we fear, we've forgotten God. The Bible says in Revelation 19:6, "The Lord omnipotent reigneth." I hope you all understand. He is in control of all things. God is not dead. Jesus, remember the story about the ship, and Jesus was on the ship and the men panicked? Do you understand that Jesus was on the same ship those men were on? God's Son come in the flesh was on the very same boat with those men, and they were panicked and freaked out and embarrassing themselves. "We're all going to die! We're all going to die! We're all going to die!" They woke Jesus up. He said, "What are y'all freaking out about?" I guess they had forgotten who he is. You know what they said?
Master, carest thou not that we perish?
The word we. We.
Was Jesus going to die on the ship? Was he already dead in their thinking?
Folks, God's got everything under control. And I think some of us almost become atheistic in our emotion, our attitude of fear, to where if I don't take things over, if I don't take care of this, it's not going to be taken care of. In most cases, you mess it up. God has not forgotten you. God is not ignoring you. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. Did you know you don't have to understand what God is doing? You just need to have faith that God can handle it. Jesus spoke the universe into existence. I imagine He can handle your situation. Have faith, not fear. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were threatened about being thrown into a burning fiery furnace. They overcame fear with faith. You know what they said? Go ahead and throw us in the furnace. Our God shall deliver us. But if not, we're covered. Y'all do understand, if God didn't deliver you, still saved, right?
Yes, sir.
You're good. Don't let your humanity run wild and your emotions run wild. You're embarrassing the spiritual aspect of your life. Is God God? Is He real? Let's see. I have two more points. I'll be quick. Number 6. We fear because we do not know the promises of God. I think we fear because we're not familiar with the promises of God. We ignore the promises of God. Let me give you some of those promises real quick. Psalm 118, verse number 4, it says, let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. Did you know God's mercy toward you is incredible? That gives me security. Psalm 118, verse number 6, it says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what can man do unto me. Guess who's on your side? God. You don't need to go to all your Facebook flunkies and try to get them to rally to your critical cause. You have God. Did you know you and God make a majority? Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God said, I'm with you. Remember, fear is an emotion. You choose to use it. You know, there are some people that are petrified of something that other people are not scared of. What's the difference? The something? The someone. Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There it talks about fearing evil. Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 4, it says, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. Did you know that God can't fail?
Amen.
God can't fail. Psalm 100, verse 5, it says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. That's basically saying to you, God is good. How often? God is good. How often? God is good. How often? You know, some of you, you say that all the time, but you don't believe it. You lie. Then someone say, God's good, and you say, all the time. You learn how to talk religious, but you don't believe it. You'd not have all that fear, all that panic, all that worry, all that insecurity if you believe God was good all the time and He's your God. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You're fine. Romans 10:13 says, hey, let's take salvation for a second. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Did you know you don't have to fear the loss of your salvation? You say, why? Because in His Scripture He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He didn't say, "Might be." He didn't say, "Could be." He didn't say, "There's a possibility." His promise said, "You ask me, I save you." Period. Amen. Now, can God lie? Is God a liar? No. The Bible says in Hebrews 6:18 that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Okay, so God can't lie. He said, "You ask me to save you, I'll do it." Period. Why do you fear the loss of your salvation? Because you don't believe the Scripture. Folks, we should not be panicking. We should be persevering by faith. And I want you to understand something. You and I as Christians, we're to be 10 times better at this than the world. They don't have all this going for them. And you say, "Well, I've got a bunch of lost friends and I'm acting just like them." How sad. The world ought to look at you and say, "Wow. Nerves of steel. Nerves of steer. Nerves of cow." Okay. There ought to be a strength, a stability. I'll have people ask me about world events. Do you know that someone's predicting the rapture was coming? Okay. Say, "Are you worried?" Why would I be worried? What's there to worry about that? I'm worried that it won't come, you know? I'm good if it comes, good. You say, "Oh, I wonder if they drop a bomb on us someday. I die and go to heaven. Did you want me to fly up there and catch it midair like Superman and take it to another planet? I can't do that. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen." Some of you toss and turn constantly about things that you have no control over. Let God take care of it. He's going to. You know this. What you worry about, He's going to anyway. He's going to take care of it. But the devil's going to freak you out emotionally and have you fall apart. Let the lost world watch you fall apart. Let the saved world watch you fall apart. Let your family watch you fall apart. When you should have been victorious and on top side, you're under the circumstances instead of on top of the circumstances. And it's just attitude. Now, I could help some of you calm down. You could sleep at night if you'd listen to what I'm teaching you tonight. So we should not be panicking, but we should be persevering. You hear what Jesus said to them? "Why are ye so fearful? You have no faith." I'll give you one more practical little thought and we'll be done. I think we've forgotten past victories. And that creates present fear. Do you know that the disciples on that ship had watched Jesus before? This wasn't their first rodeo. He'd fed a multitude. He'd healed bodies. Changed lives. Raised the dead. He'd controlled nature before. Wouldn't it have been good if somebody on the ship would have said, "There's a storm, but Jesus is downstairs. We know what He can do. Let's all just go sleep." That's not what they did. "We're all going to die. We're all going to die. We're all going to die." Jesus stood up and said, "What are you worried about? We're all going to die. Don't you know we're all going to die?" He said, "Okay, let me take care of it. You remember I took care of it before and again and again and again and again. I'll do it again. Peace be still. Now let me sleep." Parents, remember when the kids were afraid of the dark? And you know what you wanted them to do? Calm down, stop being afraid of something that they shouldn't be afraid of so you could sleep. Were you going to let something happen to them? No. And we're small compared to Him. They had forgotten the past victories and the power that He had demonstrated prior. They had forgotten what He had already proven, His ability to care for them. Folks, when the fear comes, just look back at what He's already done for you in the past. Force the fear to flee by looking at what He's already done. You adults, You've watched God take care of you in miraculous ways. Couldn't he have credit that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? And if he could do it a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, he could do it again. Think back to the times that you panicked for no reason. And he was there all the time. I'm almost finished. I don't want to be, but I'm almost finished. David fought Goliath. Say, do you think David had any fear? I don't know, but I will promise you this. He did not let the fear paralyze him, did he? One of the greatest stories in the Bible. David takes on Goliath. Is Goliath bigger than David? Mm-hmm. Would it take God's intervention for David to win? Mm-hmm. How would have everybody predicted this? They might have predicted it to go the other way. Goliath was the champion of the Philistines. David was a kid off the farm. You say, well, what gave David the faith to step out? I think as he's approaching the big goon in iron underwear, I think he looked out there and he said, you know what? I remember when that lion tried to attack. And God helped me whip a lion. He probably stood up a little bigger walking toward Goliath. He said, I remember that bear. I remember when I whipped a bear. He probably said, you know what? I won't need Saul's armor. I'll just use my slingshot. Why? That's what I use out in the field when I was fighting lions and bears. David looked back, and instead of pre-fear, post-fear, fear during, he looked back, he looked back at victories, looked forward to a victory, and had a victory. It's all attitude. Many of you, it is your attitude that defeats you, not the circumstances. God has brought you through so much before. How dare you slap him in the face with his current weakness? He's proven himself. Have faith in God. When I was studying the story, when Jesus said, "Ye are so fearful," I thought, well, what caused that? Then he said it. Because you have no faith. This is what I've taught you. I told you what fear was. It was anticipation of the negative. I gave you a handful of verses. I told you that fear could cause triple suffering, pre-suffering, suffering during, post-suffering if you allow it. I said fear should never control your life, but God should control your life. I said, when we fear, we have virtually forgotten God. And then, we fear because we do not know the promises of God. And then, we have probably forgotten past victories that prove victory is available now. Fear. Fear is a paralyzer. When you are full of fear, you're not full of faith. I remember one time Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, strengthen my faith." I think there are people in here that need to say, "Lord, strengthen my faith." The answer to your fear is faith. That's the key. I remember the first time I needed to fly. Some of you guys, you like to fly. Brother Young's a pilot. I think Brother Tyler's a pilot. Brother George is a pilot. Brother Earl, a pilot. Anybody else in here a pilot? I don't mean you work on the farm with manure. Pilot here, pilot there. Well, I remember the very first time I was going to fly, I was scared to death. My dad was going to take us up in a little plane at our local airport, and they had what they called a fly-in breakfast. You'd go out and you'd eat breakfast, and then you'd buy a meal, and then they'd take you a little flight around town. There's only room for the pilot and a couple of people. I was petrified. My dad was so smart. I think I was about 8 or 9. I was nervous. I remember this vividly. My dad said, everything's going to be okay. And then finally, my dad said, son, grab your plate. We were eating breakfast, he and I. And he said, grab your plate. We took the plate, and he said, come over here. We sit down by this gentleman. And I didn't know the guy. My dad said, Jeff, this is the pilot. And the pilot said, they call me Jeffy. You call me Dr. Jeffy. And he said to the pilot, he said, this is my son, Jeffy. And he's a little fearful about a trip up. And the pilot said, Jeffy, I promise you, everything's going to be fine. My dad said, okay. You know what? It calmed me down. Because I got close to the pilot. You get close to the pilot, you'll function out of faith instead of out of fear. You say, I'm all panicked about something right now. I'd get close to the pilot. Get close to the pilot. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I really believe there are people in this room, you need to step out of this auditorium at the conclusion of this service, go over to the usher station. You need to order the sermon that I just preached, and you need to listen to it over and over and over again. Every time you panic, every time you fear, every time fear controls you, pop this in your CD player and listen to it again. So fearful, he said, because of no faith. Have faith in God. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, God has helped me. He has reached down from heaven and placed something in my heart that I can use. God's spoken to me. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Their hands up all over this building. It's good for all of us. You may put your hands down. If you need a moment at the altar, I wish you would come. I do not preach sermons to get the service out of the road. I preach sermons to help you. If you have listened tonight, I believe in the depths of my soul, I've given you something that could strengthen the rest of your Christian life if you would just abide by it. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. You come. It's time for some of you to grow up in your Christianity. Let's get some of that fear taken care of, some of that panic, some of that insecurity, that lack of confidence. You will never be alone, Christian, ever, ever. Maybe when you are experiencing fear, why don't you get some verses about faith and use them? Why is it that we anticipate disaster and anticipate the worst and anticipate failure and anticipate embarrassment and anticipate wrong and anticipate the worst? Why don't we anticipate the best? The Greek word for that word fear in Mark 4:35, its definition means faithless. When you are full of fear, you are empty of faith. Oh boy, then there's the advance suffering from fear, the post suffering from fear, and then every once in a while we go through the suffering of the consequence or the suffering of the incident. But even then, why would we want to hurt before and hurt after any longer than necessary? The sermon is called, Why Are Ye So Fearful?